Let's listen and read God's word together. Psalm 125, starting at verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. So far God's word. Let's bring his word now before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious, almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can pray to you, you who we've been reminded of a number of times this morning, you who we can place our trust in, you who will never, ever let us down. We pray that this morning, as we reflect on your care for us, that you may open our hearts to your word. Lord, lift us up, encourage us where we need to be lifted up and encouraged. Challenge us. Work in our hearts where that is needed as well. May your Holy Spirit work amongst us and in us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. The south coast of England is one of the most beautiful parts of the world. It's one of the most beautiful, but it's also one of the most dangerous. Because the south coast of England is surrounded on the coast by rocks. And it's also an area of the world where storms are particularly dangerous because of those rocks. And in years gone by, in the early 1900s, those rocks claimed the lives of many, many sailors. In those days, boys and girls, they didn't have GPS. They didn't have navigation aids and computers to show the sailors where to go. So they were at the mercy of the storm. And so on a stormy night, there would often be a boat or several boats thrown up against those rocks, and sailors lost their lives. To help mark out the coast from time to time, and especially on stormy nights, people in the villages and the towns in those areas would light fires on top of the cliffs to show where the danger was. But when the storms were that bad, you couldn't even see those fires. But the story is also told about a priest in a certain area who saw this happening. And what he did is he climbed down a number of those cliffs and actually cut steps into those rocks so that the sailors, as their ships got dashed against the rocks, could climb up off those rocks, could climb up those steps and find a platform of safety, a rock of security. And that, brothers and sisters, is a picture that Psalm 125 paints for us as well. And it's a picture that is painted for us this morning. As we think about life's struggles, as we think about life's trials, as we reflect on the paths that we've travelled through 2019 and look forward to 2020. Where is your help? Where is your security? Where do you place your trust? This morning we're going to see, and that's the main idea I want you to take away with you this morning, is those who trust in the Lord will be secure. We're going to work our way through Psalm 125, and we're going to see how we find security in the Lord. The first point we're going to see this morning in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 125 is surrounded. Surrounded. Those who trust in the Lord, our passage says, are like Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is a mountain in Israel. Can anyone tell me, boys and girls, what city is built on Mount Zion? there in our passage if you've got the Bible open in front of you. What city is built on Mount Zion? Can someone tell me?
Jerusalem.
That was a slightly older voice, but that's okay. We'll take that. We'll take that. Jerusalem is correct. Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion. And there are a number of mountains surrounding Jerusalem. In Psalm 121, if you have your Bibles open, we have the picture there of looking to the mountains. I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. From where does my help come? People in Psalm 121 are encouraged to look at the mountains and look up to God. Here this morning, again, an encouragement to look at the mountains. Now, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, on which Jerusalem was on, was not the tallest mountain in that area. There are four other mountains that are taller than Mount Zion. And so those mountains form a protective surround around Jerusalem. Meaning there was only one way to come up into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was very secure, very hard to attack, relatively easy to defend. And then in verse 1 we have the word Lord, an important word in the Bible. The word Lord is the covenant God, the God who forms a relationship with his people, the God who never changes. That's the idea here this morning. So those who trust in that God, who trust in the covenant God, the God who's in a relationship with us, are like Mount Zion, are like Jerusalem, surrounded by all of those mountains, protected, defended, secure. That's a picture for us as Christians this morning. In the book of 2 Kings, you don't need to turn there with me, but in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, we have the story of Elisha and his servant. And there, and there arises a problem. The king of Syria is fighting the people of Israel. And every time the king of Syria goes into battle, the people of Israel are in the right place and at the right time. And then the king tries to find out what the problem is, and the problem is found in verse 12. One of his servants said, "None of us are telling your battle plans, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And so the king of Syria goes and wants to grab this Elisha. He comes and surrounds the city, the village of Dothan. And one morning, Elisha's servant wakes up. He gets up, goes out the door, and looks and sees the armies of Syria surrounding the city of Dothan. And he panics. But note what Elisha says in verse 15. He prays to God. And says this: "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha's words to his servant, as his servant sees all of this, this armies of God surrounding him, is this: "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." What a beautiful picture, congregation, of God surrounding, protecting his people. The mountains surrounding Jerusalem, the hosts of God's armies surrounding and protecting us. If we are in God, if we trust in him, we will be secure. He surrounds us. He protects us. So the encouragement to you this morning is trust him. Lean on him. Hang in there in your struggles. Remember that you have a God who looks after you, who protects you, who walks with you through life's trials and life's struggles. And how often does he do that? For how long does he do that? Well, in Psalm 125, in the second half of verse 2, we know how long and find out how long. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, not just in the past, not just for a couple of days, not just for a couple of weeks. No, the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Eternal protection, forever protection. That's a tremendous comfort to us this morning. A wonderful reminder as we say goodbye to 2019 and its blessings and, yes, its struggles, and look forward to 2020. Because life can be a challenge. Life can be a trial. And while we will not be moved, we will not be swept away, we do ask ourselves sometimes, are we going to make it? Are we going to get through? And the answer to that is yes. Yes. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Restrained. Restrained as we look at verse 3. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land given or allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. The first half of the verse is fairly easy to understand. The scepter of wickedness. The idea here is of a king who has his scepter or his rod that he points out from his throne. The idea here of the wicked having their way in the land. And the psalmist reminds his people that that won't last forever. The wicked will not always have their way. Who does the land belong to? It doesn't belong to the wicked. The land belongs to the righteous. One day, we will reign with God's people in the new heavens, the new earth. This world does not belong to the wicked. This world, the new heavens and the new earth, will belong to us together with God as we reign with Him. But not yet. And we look around this world and we see the evil that lives in it. We think about our own country, as in the next year we'll be contemplating legalizing euthanasia, allowing abortion up till birth. How bad will things get? Can they get worse? The question is often asked, why are things so bad in this world? But Psalm 125 encourages us to ask a different question. It encourages us to ask the question, why aren't things worse in this world? And the answer is, they are not worse because God restrains evil. God is still in control. Imagine a world where Hitler wasn't restrained at all. A world where governments could make whatever laws they made and wickedness ruled and reigned. Things aren't that bad. Things aren't worse because Christ is king. Christ is ruling. He restrains evil. And he does so for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons we look at the second half of verse 3. The scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. What is one of the reasons why God restrains evil? So that his people aren't tempted to sin. We can be tempted as we see evil have its way, as people get their way. It's tempting when you see someone cheating in business or cheating on their taxes to follow the same path. It can be tempting for you when your non-Christian friends go out and do whatever they want and have all the fun that they want. It's tempting to go the way of the world. We see people getting away with things, doing what they want. But God does promise us that that will not last forever. He restrains evil so that we are not tempted to sin. And he promises us that no matter what we face, no matter what we're tempted, it will never ever be too much for us. As we learn in those famous words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we read this. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. No matter how things bad things get out there, no matter how much fun your non-Christian friends are having, no matter how much people get away with, no matter how much you are tempted to go down the same path, God will always provide you with resources to resist that temptation. His promise to you is that you will not be broken. So we can't use it as an excuse when we are tempted, when we fall into sin. Well, I just had to do it. I didn't have the strength to say no, because God provides us with that strength. So when you are tempted, pray. When you are tempted, read passages such as Psalm 125 and say, God, may that be true for me. And when you do fall, when you do give into temptation, know that God freely gives you his forgiveness. Not being moved doesn't mean that you won't face trials. It doesn't mean that you won't fall into sin, but it means that God will never, ever let you go. You will always be secure. And there is always, always a path back to him. God restrains evil for the sake of his people. We can look forward to a day when God will, when all of that will be conquered. When there will no longer be evil or wickedness. We will live in perfect peace and security with our Heavenly Father in the new heavens and the new earth. And then as we conclude this morning, we see that our psalm leaves us with two choices, two ways, two paths. The psalmist starts in verse 4 with the positive way, the positive path. But we're going to finish with the positive this morning. We're going to look first of all at verse 5. We're going to jimmy the order around a wee bit. In verse 5 we read this. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The first path is the bad path, the way of the wicked. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 59. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Isaiah 59, page 618 in one of the church Bibles. In Isaiah 59 we read this, starting at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. Verse 7 and 8 we read this, speaking of the wicked. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. It's a pretty vivid warning for those who are wicked. Pretty explicit description of what will happen to them. A warning that if you do not believe in God, if you do not trust in Jesus Christ, you will be moved, you will be shaken, you will face judgment. But we read those words and say, well, we're thankful that's not us. I'm not wicked. I'm not evil. I'm not that bad. Well, Paul answers that question in the book of Romans. Paul begins in the book of Romans by speaking to the Gentiles and warning them about God's wrath on them, his judgment that's coming. And as Paul is saying those words to the Gentiles in Rome, you can hear the Jews saying, amen, preach it, Paul. We love it, don't we, when the preacher has someone lined in their sights, so-and-so needs to hear this sermon. And the Jews in Rome were doing this, preach it, Paul, you tell them. But then Paul turns it to the Jews as well. Romans 3 verse 9, what then, are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Brothers and sisters, that's every single one of us before we come to know Jesus Christ. And this picture of wickedness, this picture of the path of destruction, is one that should drive us as Christians with urgency, with compassion, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That those who don't trust in Jesus Christ will be moved, they will be shaken. They will be done away with all the evildoers. It's a call to you this morning, friend, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in him, you will be shaken. You will be moved. You may live this entire life as one who is blessed, as one who faces struggles, but in the end does okay. But the time is coming that you will face your Maker. You will be called to give an account for your life. The time is coming. How will you answer that? How will you answer God? How will you answer Jesus when he asks you, on what basis do you think you can stand before me? The reality is that none of us can say, you need to pick me, you need to choose me, you need to allow me to enter in your heaven because of who I am. Now we can only stand before him because of someone who has done good on our behalf. And that brings us to the second part of verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. To those who do trust in God, there is the path of blessing. There is the path of eternal security, eternal peace. But how do we get there? How do we get from the wicked to the good? How do we get to Mount Zion? How do we get to the bedrock? How do we get to, as Psalm 61 says, Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. How do we get off those rocks, brothers and sisters, up onto the rock of safety and security? We do so through the rock. The rock who we read about in Matthew chapter 16. Where Peter answers Jesus' question, who am I? Who is that rock? That rock is Jesus Christ. Simon Peter replied in verse 16 of Matthew 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock, on your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ is the rock, brothers and sisters. It is he who gives us peace and security. It is he who takes us off the rocks of the storms and places us up in security. That is the good that our God does for us. There's the good of verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. The ultimate good that we have is having eternal peace and security in our rock, and our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we can be secure because of that rock. Nothing can ever take us away from that. That's the message of Psalm 125 this morning. Those who trust in the Lord are surrounded by Him and by His protection. We are surrounded as we go through life. God restrains evil. He keeps His eye on the world. He restrains wickedness for our benefit. All that is left then is to consider, for you to consider this morning, the two paths, the two ways. Which one are you on? If you're on the path away from God, you are headed to destruction. But it doesn't need to be that way. Turn to the rock. If your trust is in the Lord, if your trust is in God, then as you go through life's storms, as you go through life's trials, I'm sure for many of you, and I know for many of you, 2019 has been a year of storm and trial. The reality of the world that we live in is 2020. There's no promise that it's going to be easy either. So as you go through life, continue to place your trust in Him. Commit in 2020 to continue to place your trust in the Lord, who will walk with you through those storms. Then you can say too, as we're about to sing, the words are number 461. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray and then we'll sing these words together. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, what a beautiful picture of your care and protection we have this morning. That if we trust in you, we are surrounded. We are protected. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you restrain evil and wickedness in this world. We pray as we head into 2020, in a year of uncertainty in terms of abortion and euthanasia, we pray against those laws, Lord. We pray that they may not come into law. But even if they do, Heavenly Father, may we continue to have the peace and confidence that you are still in control. That you know what you are doing. And that you give eternal peace and security to your people. We pray that that internal peace, that eternal security, that eternal hope may be true of every single person here this morning. We pray that it may be true of our children who are not here in worship this morning, our friends and our family who are walking down the path of the wicked. Lord, it hurts us. It grieves us. It pains us to know the path that they are on. Work in their hearts by your Holy Spirit. Use us in whatever way you will to bring them back so that they too may say, my trust, my security, my peace is in the rock, is on the rock of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. So let's stand now and sing these words, number 461. My hope is built on nothing less.